Part 4. Enabling Operations. Enabling operations are operations that connect offensive, defensive, and stability operations together. On their own, they are not decisive, but they help set conditions for the execution of all operations. They are complex enough that they require either a deliberate planning effort or a well-developed and understood SOP to execute. Part 4 consists of 9 chapters that describe reconnaissance, security operations, troop movement, relief in place, passage of lines, countermobility, mobility, tactical deception, and link-up operations. Chapter 12, Reconnaissance. This chapter addresses general reconnaissance considerations, reconnaissance fundamentals, reconnaissance management, forms of reconnaissance operations, reconnaissance methods, and recuperation and reconstitution of reconnaissance assets. See FM3-98 for more detail on reconnaissance operations. General reconnaissance considerations. Reconnaissance is a mission undertaken to obtain, by visual observation or other detection methods, information about the activities and resources of an enemy or adversary, or to secure data concerning the meteorological, hydrographic, or geographic characteristics of a particular area, JP2O. Reconnaissance is one part of information collection. The other 3 parts that comprise information collection are security, intelligence operations, and surveillance. Surveillance is the systematic observation of aerospace, cyberspace, surface or subsurface areas, places, persons, or things by visual, oral, electronic, photographic, or other means, JP3O. Although there are similarities between reconnaissance and surveillance to facilitate information collection, reconnaissance collection uses multiple means, including surveillance, to find information by systematically checking multiple locations in a designated operational area. Instead of focusing on one specific piece of required information, reconnaissance can help provide units with a broader understanding of the impacts the terrain, weather, and enemy that ultimately assists the higher headquarters' planning efforts, whereas surveillance is more persistent and looming and tends to be more passive. Units perform reconnaissance tasks before, during, and after other operations to obtain information that commanders and their staffs use in the IPB process, so they can formulate, confirm, or modify enemy courses of action and to drive planned or unplanned commander decisions within the friendly plan. Reconnaissance identifies terrain characteristics, enemy and friendly obstacles to movement, and the disposition of enemy forces and the civilian population so units can maneuver their forces freely and rapidly. Reconnaissance prior to unit movements and occupation of assembly areas is critical to protecting friendly forces and preserving combat power. Units also perform reconnaissance to keep their forces free from contact as long as possible so that they can concentrate on their main effort. Leaders at every echelon disseminate information to emphasize the importance of reporting to their soldiers and rapidly updating digital and analog systems to reflect friendly, enemy, and neutral activities. Reconnaissance fundamentals. There are 7 fundamentals of successful reconnaissance operations. Ensure continuous reconnaissance. Do not keep reconnaissance assets in reserve. Orient on the reconnaissance objective. Report all required information rapidly and accurately. Retain freedom of maneuver. Gain and maintain enemy contact. Develop the situation rapidly. Ensure continuous reconnaissance. Effective reconnaissance is continuous. Units conduct reconnaissance before, during, and after all their operations. Reconnaissance gathers information that commanders use when deciding to execute current, branch, or sequel plans. The nature of priority intelligence requirements, PIRs, and information requirements change as operations transition. Units employ reconnaissance assets to report friendly unit locations, status, and sustainment requirements during chaotic situations. It is important that all soldiers act as sensors and report their observations in a timely manner. Before operations, reconnaissance fills gaps in information about enemy forces, the terrain, and civil considerations. During operations, reconnaissance assets provide units with updated information that verifies their enemy forces' composition, dispositions, and intentions. This allows those commanders to verify which potential COAs enemy forces are attempting to execute. It also allows commanders to determine if their plans are still valid based on ongoing events within their assigned areas. After operations, reconnaissance elements maintain contact with enemy forces to determine the enemy's next move. At a minimum, units ensure the continuous conduct of reconnaissance as part of all their security missions. This includes the performance of local security by forces not currently in contact. Reconnaissance performed over extended distances and time requires units to pace or rotate their reconnaissance assets to maintain continuous coverage. Scouts require time for rest, resupply, training, and the performance of troop leading procedures. Technical reconnaissance assets require time for preventive maintenance checks and services. Commanders determine where and when they require maximum reconnaissance efforts and then manage their available reconnaissance assets to ensure their availability at critical times and places. Do not keep reconnaissance assets in reserve. Commanders never keep their reconnaissance assets in reserve. This does not mean that units commit all their assets all the time. When committed, reconnaissance assets use all their resources to accomplish the mission. They use their reconnaissance assets based on their capabilities and the mission variables to achieve the maximum coverage needed to answer their critical information requirements. At times, this requires them to task, reassign, or minimize the reconnaissance assets to ensure their availability at critical times and places. They do not recover and sustain reconnaissance assets by placing them in the reserve. They consider all their reconnaissance assets as committed assets with specific missions at all times. They may keep units with multiple roles that can conduct reconnaissance, security, and other combat missions in an economy of force role as their reserve for future security or combat missions. Orient on the reconnaissance objective. Commanders use their reconnaissance objectives to focus reconnaissance efforts. Reconnaissance objective is the most important result desired from that specific reconnaissance effort. The objective can be either threat or terrain-based, depending on what type of operation a battalion or higher echelon is conducting. Every reconnaissance mission specifies a reconnaissance objective by priority, intent, and the information to obtain. Commanders assign reconnaissance objectives based on PIRs resulting from the IPB process and the reconnaissance asset's capabilities and limitations. A reconnaissance objective can be information about a specific geographic location, such as the cross-country trafficability of a specific area, to confirm or deny a specific activity of a threat, or to specify the location of a threat, such as a specific piece of equipment or an entire system. Furthermore, reconnaissance units use their reconnaissance objective to guide them in setting priorities when they lack time to complete all the tasks associated with performing a specific type of reconnaissance. Reconnaissance assets remain focused on achieving these objectives regardless of what they encounter during their missions. These assets implement reconnaissance objectives to focus their efforts when time, enemy action, or other factors prevent them from performing all the tasks normally associated with a particular form of reconnaissance. Report all required information rapidly and accurately. Reconnaissance assets acquire and report accurate and timely combat information about their reconnaissance objectives. This information may quickly lose its value, which is why it is important that the latest time information of value is included with information requirements to aid in timely reporting and avoid wasting reconnaissance assets. Reconnaissance assets report exactly what they see and, if appropriate, what they do not see, as this information is potentially tied to PIRs or information requirements. Seemingly unimportant information may be extremely important when combined with other information. Reports of no enemy activity are as important as reports of enemy activity. Unit information management plans ensure that unit reconnaissance assets have the proper communications equipment to support the echelon's integrated information collection plan. Retain freedom of maneuver. Reconnaissance assets need to retain their battlefield mobility, refine tactical knowledge of terrain and the enemy, and maintain their initiative to complete their missions. Reconnaissance stops and battle begins when these assets become decisively engaged. Reconnaissance assets require clear engagement and disengagement criteria that support their commander's intent. They employ proper movement and reconnaissance techniques, use overwatching fires, and follow standard operating procedures. Reconnaissance assets adopt formations designed to gain contact with the smallest friendly element prior to approaching areas where enemy contact is expected. This provides friendly elements maximum maneuver space and prevents the entire reconnaissance element from becoming decisively engaged. Units use the IPB process to identify anticipated areas of likely contact. Use of indirect fires to provide suppression and obscuration, as well as to destroy point targets, are methods reconnaissance elements use to retain their freedom of maneuver. Reconnaissance units have a working relationship with Army Aviation Reconnaissance assets that can enable freedom of maneuver through early warning as well as destruction of direct threats to ground reconnaissance forces. Gain and maintain enemy contact. Reconnaissance assets gaining contact with enemy forces maintain contact unless their commander orders otherwise or their survival is at risk. This does not mean individual scout and reconnaissance teams cannot break contact with enemy forces. Units conducting reconnaissance are responsible for maintaining contact once it occurs. Contact can range from visual to direct fire contact. After contact, the unit decides which form or forms of contact is best for maintaining enemy contact so they can continue to provide required information. Survivability is a key consideration for the unit in determining which forms of contact to maintain. Leaders at all echelons must decide which forms of contact, through available assets, will enable the reconnaissance force to maintain contact and can switch between them as needed. Surveillance combined with stealth is often sufficient to maintain contact and is the preferred method. Units conducting reconnaissance avoid direct fire contact with enemy forces unless it is necessary to gain essential information. Develop the situation rapidly. Reconnaissance assets develop the situation immediately upon contact with enemy forces or obstacles. Report enemy force composition, dispositions, activities, and movements and maneuver. If contact is made with an obstacle, then reconnaissance assets determine the type and extent of the obstacle and if the obstacle is actively being overwatched and covered with either direct or indirect fires. Enemy obstacle locations and compositions can provide information concerning enemy force positions, weapon capabilities, and scheme of fires. Reconnaissance assets develop the situation using action on contact drills. Reconnaissance management. No single reconnaissance asset can answer every information collection requirement, and there are rarely enough reconnaissance assets to cover every requirement. Staffs use a mix of reconnaissance management methods, such as queuing, mixing, redundancy, and task organizing, to use their limited assets most effectively and collect the most critical information as quickly as possible. Queuing is the integration of one or more types of reconnaissance or surveillance systems to provide information that directs follow-on collecting of more detailed information by another system. Queuing helps to focus limited reconnaissance and surveillance assets, especially limited ground assets, which can rarely examine every part of a large area closely. Electronic, thermal, visual, audio, and other technical assets with wide area surveillance capabilities, often working from aerial platforms, can quickly determine areas of enemy concentration or areas without an enemy presence. These assets may cue ground and aerial reconnaissance assets to investigate specific areas to confirm and amplify information developed by technical assets. For example, Joint Surveillance Target Attack Radar System and guardrail-equipped aircraft can cover large areas and cue ground reconnaissance or unmanned aircraft once they identify the presence of enemy forces. Units may dispatch ground reconnaissance or UAS to verify this information and track enemy assets for targeting purposes. Similarly, a ground reconnaissance asset can cue surveillance assets. Units use reconnaissance assets based on their capabilities and use the complementary capabilities of other assets to verify and expand information. Mixing is using two or more different capabilities to collect against the same information requirement. Employing a mix of systems not only increases the probability of collection, but also provides information that is more complete. For example, a Joint Surveillance Target Attack Radar System aircraft may detect and locate a moving enemy tactical force, while the Division or Core Analysis and Control element uses organic and supporting assets to determine its identity, organizational structure, and indications of its future plans. Employing a mix of systems is always desirable if the situation and available resources permit. Mixing systems can also help uncover enemy deception attempts by revealing discrepancies in reports from different collectors. Redundancy is using two or more like capabilities to collect against the same information requirement. Commanders decide which NAIs justify having more than one asset covering them based on the priority of their information requirements. When more than one asset covers the same NAI, a backup is available in the event that one asset cannot reach the NAI in time, the first asset suffers mechanical failure, or the enemy force detects and engages the first asset. For example, two observation posts overwatching the same NAI from two different locations. Redundancy also improves the chances of successful information collection. Commanders may task organize their reconnaissance assets by placing additional assets under their subordinates' control to increase asset effectiveness and survivability. These assets may include additional signal retransmission elements, engineer reconnaissance elements, civil affairs teams, or additional security forces such as an infantry platoon. Commander's reconnaissance guidance. The guidance the commander provides to the reconnaissance assets is key in collecting PIR to aid in the decision-making of higher echelons. There are three sections to the commander's reconnaissance guidance: focus, tempo, and engagement and disengagement criteria. Tempo is a key element to the commander's reconnaissance guidance as it refers to the level of detail and level of aggressiveness required to accomplish the reconnaissance mission. See FM3-98 for more information on commander's reconnaissance guidance. Focus. The focus of the reconnaissance defines the reconnaissance unit's area of emphasis and is composed of four categories: threat, civil, terrain, and weather effects. A focus aids the reconnaissance effort by narrowing the scope of operations to obtain the information that is most important to developing the situation and aid in planning for future operations. Commanders and staffs further the reconnaissance efforts by focusing on specific reconnaissance objectives. The objective should directly support the end state stated within the commander's intent. Tempo. The reconnaissance tempo is the level of detail and level of aggressiveness required to accomplish reconnaissance operations. The level of detail is conveyed using the terms rapid and deliberate to establish the necessary number of tasks required based on the amount of time available in a reconnaissance operation to sufficiently answer the supported commander's PIR. The level of aggressiveness addresses the necessity to avoid either detection or engagement and is conveyed through the terms forceful and stealthy. Commanders analyze the mission variables of MET-TCI to assist them in determining the best reconnaissance tempo for a specific form of reconnaissance. Although the terms may not be mutually exclusive, the three major factors that drive the selection of the specific terms will be time, commander's intent, and the known enemy situation. Level of detail. Reconnaissance tempo has two levels of detail: rapid or deliberate. Commanders first identify the tasks associated with the assigned reconnaissance mission. Rapid or deliberate is used by the commander to focus on the appropriate level of detail necessary for the supported commander to make decisions. In a rapid reconnaissance, commanders prescribe the minimum number of tasks necessary to accomplish the mission. By assigning a rapid reconnaissance, the commander is focusing on a reduced number of tasks and specificity of information associated with the assigned tasks. This is more easily accomplished with a greater understanding of the operational environment or when only specific information is needed to facilitate the supported commander's decisions. The limitation of rapid reconnaissance is a higher risk to the force due to reduced specificity and less detailed information about the operational environment. In a deliberate reconnaissance, all tasks for that mission must be accomplished to ensure success and answer PIRs. This is inherently more time-intensive due to the amount of required information to collect and tasks to complete, and is necessary when the understanding of the operational environment is vague. Deliberate reconnaissance requires meticulous information collection and is conducted when there is limited enemy presence, when more time is available, or the commander requires more detailed information about the operational environment. The limitation of a deliberate reconnaissance is that it may require augmentation to include more detailed information collection assets and may require more deliberate sustainment planning. Level of aggressiveness. Reconnaissance tempo has two levels of aggressiveness: forceful or stealthy. A forceful level of aggressiveness develops the situation by employing air and ground reconnaissance, technical means, and direct and indirect fire systems to rapidly develop the situation. Forceful reconnaissance is appropriate when favorable relative combat power analysis permits, when limited time necessitates, or when aggressive engagement is necessary to gain the required information. Units conducting forceful reconnaissance can move overtly as direct and indirect contact will not hinder or may enable the collection effort. A stealthy level of aggressiveness emphasizes avoiding detection and direct and indirect contact as it will hinder collection efforts and could limit freedom of maneuver. Stealthy reconnaissance typically takes more time than forceful reconnaissance and is appropriate when time is available and the unit is either unable to fight for information based on relative combat analysis, the commander wants forces to remain undetected, or when a higher headquarters is unwilling to accept a higher threshold of risk. Units also use UAS independently or in conjunction with ground reconnaissance assets to execute stealthy reconnaissance. The levels of detail and aggressiveness combine to give the commander four combinations of tempo to choose from. The four combinations of reconnaissance tempo are rapid and forceful, limited information requirements, mission timeline emphasizes prompt collection, overt movement is acceptable, direct and indirect fires will not hinder or may enhance collection efforts. Rapid and stealthy. Limited information requirements. Mission timeline emphasizes prompt collection. Covert movement is required. Direct and indirect fire contact will hinder collection efforts and movement and maneuver. Deliberate and forceful. Extensive information requirements. Mission timeline allows comprehensive collection. Overt movement is acceptable. Direct and indirect fires will not hinder or may enhance collection efforts. Deliberate and stealthy. Mission timeline allows detailed collection. Extensive information requirements. Covert movement is required. Direct and indirect fire contact will hinder collection efforts and movement and maneuver. It is less important that commanders use the specific terms, rapid or deliberate, forceful or stealthy, to communicate an organization's reconnaissance tempo. Instead, commanders should strive to provide guidance within each area of tempo to assist subordinate units in understanding how the reconnaissance effort is nested within the supported organization's operating tempo. Generally speaking, commanders should inform the reconnaissance force how much information pertaining to the enemy and terrain they need to gather, how quickly that information must be gathered, and how aggressively to pursue that information. Engagement and disengagement criteria. Engagement criteria are protocols that specify those circumstances for initiating engagement with an enemy force. Commanders must clearly define the size or type of enemy force they want their subordinate elements to engage or avoid. The commander ensures that subordinate leaders understand this to avoid becoming decisively engaged, which prevents the unit from continuing reconnaissance operations. Commanders use bypass criteria to direct bypassing or handing off certain sizes or types of units to maintain the tempo of the operation based upon subsequent planned operations and guidance from higher. Bypass criteria are measures established by higher echelon headquarters that specify the conditions and size under which enemy units and contact may be avoided. Reconnaissance assets direct and rehearse handover of enemy targets between friendly units as required when specified enemy formations are bypassed. Disengagement criteria are protocols that specify those circumstances where a friendly force must break contact with direct fire and observed indirect fire to avoid becoming decisively engaged or to preserve friendly combat power. Just like engagement criteria, it is critical for the commander to clearly state when the subordinate elements must break contact with direct fire with enemy forces to prevent becoming decisively engaged and, more importantly, retain freedom of maneuver. Characteristics of reconnaissance assets. Every unit has a requirement to report information about the terrain, weather, civilian activities, and friendly and enemy dispositions. Troops in close combat and reconnaissance patrols of maneuver units at all echelons collect information on enemy units with which they are in contact. In echelon support areas, reserve maneuver forces, functional and multifunctional support, sustainment elements, other government agencies and multinational forces observe and report civilian and enemy activity and significant changes in terrain trafficability. Although all units conduct reconnaissance, those specifically trained in reconnaissance operations are cavalry, manned and unmanned aviation reconnaissance, scouts, and special forces. Some branches, such as engineers, civil affairs, and chemical, have specific ground reconnaissance tasks to perform that complement the force's overall reconnaissance effort. However, maneuver battalions, BCTs, divisions, and corps commanders primarily use their organic or attached ground and aerial reconnaissance assets and their space operations, target acquisition, and intelligence elements to conduct reconnaissance operations. Battalion and higher echelon commanders assign missions to their reconnaissance assets based on the organization, equipment, and training of those assets. They know the capabilities and limitations of their available reconnaissance assets. This ensures the appropriate employment of these assets based on their capabilities. They will also augment their reconnaissance assets with enablers if they recognize that the reconnaissance task requires additional augmentation to be successful. Commanders primarily employ a combination of manned, ground, and air assets supported by technical systems to perform reconnaissance. These assets use the strengths of one system to overcome the weaknesses of another. They delineate reporting procedures for all units to disseminate information gathered during reconnaissance that facilitates mission accomplishment. Commanders employ all available resources, not just reconnaissance units, to satisfy their existing information requirements. Joint forward observers and fire support teams report combat information. Forward deployed air defense units observe and report enemy aircraft and air corridors in use, as well as supplement available air control radars. Specialized reconnaissance assets such as these will have unique requirements of time on objective, distance to objective, and movement. Planning and integration are required to ensure that requirements of the mission variables of the reconnaissance commander and the collection requirements are effectively balanced. Ground reconnaissance can involve assets not specifically tailored for the mission. During the conduct of any form of reconnaissance, the commander may require information about a specific aspect of the area of operations. To obtain this information, the commander may direct a specific focus task, which typically requires the use of an organization uniquely trained and equipped for the mission. Focus tasks include seaburn, civil, electromagnetic, and engineer reconnaissance. Seaburn reconnaissance includes missions to obtain information on suspected or confirmed chemical, biological, radiological, or nuclear threats and hazards in an assigned area. Seaburn reconnaissance identifies indicators of enemy seaburn production or employment, and indicators related to civilian or industrial facilities that could be weaponized or produce hazards when damaged or destroyed. See ATP 3-11.37/MCRP 10-10ECHO.7/NTTP 3-11.29/AFTTP 3-2.44 for more on seaburn reconnaissance. Civil reconnaissance is a targeted, planned, and coordinated observation and evaluation of specific civil aspects of the environment, such as areas, structures, capabilities, organizations, people, or events, JP 3-57. Civil reconnaissance verifies or refutes civil information, supports operational environment assessments, and detects and monitors changes in the civil component. It is conducted over time through routine engagement and patterned civil observance, using active and passive sensors, virtual sensors, and other means. See FM 3-57 for more information on civil reconnaissance. Electromagnetic reconnaissance is the detection, location, identification, and evaluation of foreign electromagnetic radiations, energy, JP 3-85. Electromagnetic reconnaissance supports information collection at brigade and higher echelons using assigned electromagnetic warfare personnel and capabilities. Information obtained through electromagnetic reconnaissance assists the commander with situational understanding and can support signals intelligence activities. Electromagnetic reconnaissance may result in electromagnetic protection modifications or lead to an electromagnetic attack against enemy capabilities. See FM 3-12 for more information on electromagnetic reconnaissance. Engineer reconnaissance obtains information about the infrastructure, terrain, or threat. This may include data on obstacles, gap crossing sites, airfields, bridges, tunnels, roads, and trails. Engineer units do not have designated reconnaissance teams. Engineer reconnaissance is directed and task-organized based on mission requirements using assets that would otherwise support other engineer missions. CATP3-34.81/MCWP3-17.4 for more on engineer reconnaissance. Ground reconnaissance elements are generally limited in the depth to which they can conduct reconnaissance. However, they can operate in weather conditions that prohibit aerial reconnaissance operations. Reconnaissance conducted by manned and unmanned aircraft systems complement ground reconnaissance by increasing the speed and depth of reconnaissance over designated areas. Aerial reconnaissance assets can operate over terrain that hinders ground operations, such as swamps, extremely rugged terrain, or deep snow. Aviation assets can operate at a considerable depth, far in advance of dedicated ground reconnaissance elements focused on close operations. Thus, aviation assets provide units with additional time to react to enemy forces. Manned and unmanned aerial reconnaissance assets use their optics, video, thermal imaging, electronic sensors, and communications capabilities to detect and report enemy activities. All types of aviation units generate pilot reports when conducting their primary missions. These reports are often a source of valuable combat information. While several technical systems can perform reconnaissance, most of these systems are surveillance platforms. Surveillance complements reconnaissance by queuing the commitment of reconnaissance assets against specific locations or specially targeted enemy units. Military intelligence units conduct supporting intelligence operations. They provide electronic intercept, UAS sensor feeds, and human intelligence, counterintelligence, and downlinks from theater and national assets. Theater and national reconnaissance and surveillance systems broadcast information and intelligence to commanders and provide near real-time imagery as a part of an integrated intelligence effort. Artillery and air defense target acquisition radars complement military intelligence surveillance systems as a part of that effort. Examples of human intelligence collection include face-to-face interrogation of captured enemy soldiers, screening of the civilian population, and debriefing of friendly soldiers, such as scouts and special operations forces. See JP20 or FM2-22.3 for more information about human intelligence collection. Division and Corps headquarters have various ways to obtain information from space reconnaissance assets. Various sensors found on these assets use the breadth of the electromagnetic spectrum, EMS, to gather data for situational awareness, planning, intelligence, and operations by ground forces. Space reconnaissance assets can continue reconnaissance regardless of the enemy capability to defend against air and ground reconnaissance assets. Space and terrestrial weather may have varying effects on the different space-based sensors and the portion of the EMS being used. Certain space-based reconnaissance assets can be limited in the amount of support provided due to the physical limitations of their orbit and revisit times. Forms of reconnaissance. The five forms of reconnaissance operations are zone reconnaissance, area reconnaissance, route reconnaissance, reconnaissance in force, special reconnaissance. Chapter 12 in the print version of FM3-90 illustrates the types of Army reconnaissance units typically assigned to the forms of reconnaissance operations. Special Operations Forces conduct special reconnaissance. Zone reconnaissance. Zone reconnaissance is a form of reconnaissance operation that involves a directed effort to obtain detailed information on all routes, obstacles, terrain, and enemy forces within a zone defined by boundaries. Commanders assign a zone reconnaissance mission when they need additional information on a zone before committing other forces. It is appropriate when the enemy situation is vague, existing knowledge of the terrain is limited, or combat operations have altered the terrain. A zone reconnaissance may include several route or area reconnaissance missions assigned to subordinate units. Zone reconnaissance is normally a deliberate process, and units need to allow adequate time to perform this task. It takes more time than any other reconnaissance operation. It normally involves extended distances and starts from a LD. It requires the employment of all ground elements executing the zone reconnaissance abreast of each other. Commanders may forego detailed reconnaissance of these zones and focus assets on NAIs that reveal enemy dispositions and intentions when their reconnaissance objectives are enemy forces. Reconnaissance units do not disregard terrain when focusing on enemy forces. However, they minimize their terrain reconnaissance efforts to what influences the NAIs. Tasks associated with zone reconnaissance. Units performing zone reconnaissance accomplish the following tasks within capability, unless otherwise ordered. Find and report all enemy forces within the zone. Based on engagement criteria, clear all enemy forces in the designated assigned area of the unit conducting reconnaissance. Determine the trafficability of all terrain in the zone, including built-up areas. Locate and determine the extent of all contaminated areas in the zone. Inspect and classify all bridges in the zone. Inspect and classify all overpasses, underpasses, and culverts. Locate fords, crossing sites, or obstacle bypasses in the zone. Locate and clear all mines, obstacles, and barriers in the zone. Report reconnaissance information. Reconnoiter all terrain in the zone. Locate bypass around built-up areas, obstacles, and contaminated areas. Reconnoiter specific terrain in the zone. Reconnoiter defiles along the route. Clear them of enemy and obstacles or locate a bypass. Organization of forces for a zone reconnaissance. Several subordinate units operate abreast within their assigned area when performing a zone reconnaissance. Commanders directing their forces to perform a zone reconnaissance designate a maneuver reserve when they expect to encounter significant enemy forces. That reserve should contain significant combat power. For example, armored company teams normally perform this task for a cavalry squadron in an armored BCT. Units conducting a zone reconnaissance ensure fire's assets can adequately support throughout the execution of the operation. Control measures for a zone reconnaissance. Commanders control the performance of zone reconnaissance by assigning areas to units conducting the reconnaissance. They may designate their zone by designating lateral boundaries, lines of departure, and LOAs. Units conducting zone reconnaissance can further divide their zone with additional lateral boundaries to define subordinate units' zones. The primary difference between an area reconnaissance and a zone reconnaissance is that a zone reconnaissance typically involves larger areas than those associated with the performance of area reconnaissance. Area reconnaissance. Area reconnaissance is a form of reconnaissance operation that focuses on obtaining detailed information about the terrain or enemy activity within a prescribed area. This area may consist of a single location, such as a town, a ridgeline, a forest, an airhead, a bridge, an installation, or any other critical operational feature such as obstacles. Obstacles are considered as either natural or man-made and can include areas with seaborne contamination. Commanders assign an area reconnaissance when information on the enemy situation is limited or when focused reconnaissance yields specific information on the area in question. Area reconnaissance is normally smaller than zone reconnaissance and is not usually contiguous to other friendly areas targeted for reconnaissance. Commanders may forego detailed reconnaissance of their respective areas and focus their assets on NAIs that reveal enemy compositions, dispositions, and intentions when their reconnaissance objectives are oriented on enemy forces. Reconnaissance units cannot disregard terrain while focusing on enemy forces in this situation. However, they minimize their terrain reconnaissance efforts to those that may influence NAIs. Tasks associated with the performance of an area reconnaissance. Units performing an area reconnaissance perform the following tasks within capability, unless otherwise ordered. Confirm or deny commander's PIRs. Reconnoiter specific terrain in the area. Find and report all enemy forces within the area. Determine the trafficability of all terrain in the area to include built-up areas. Locate and determine the extent of all contamination in the area. Inspect and classify all overpasses, underpasses, defiles, and culverts. Locate fords or crossing sites near all bridges in the area. Inspect and classify all bridges in the area. Locate a bypass around built-up areas, obstacles, and contamination in area. Locate any bypasses for existing obstacles in the area. Locate and clear all mines, obstacles, and barriers in the area. Report reconnaissance information. Organization of forces for an area reconnaissance. Considerations for the organization of forces for an area reconnaissance are the same as organizing a zone reconnaissance. The overall commander of those units performing the area reconnaissance establishes a maneuver reserve if that individual expects units to encounter significant enemy forces. This reserve needs adequate combat power to reinforce decisively engaged reconnaissance forces. A tank-heavy company team normally performs this task for a cavalry squadron of an armored BCT. Commanders ordering the performance of an area reconnaissance provide their reconnaissance elements with adequate fire support assets that move with those elements if the areas they are reconnoitering are located beyond supporting range of their main bodies. Control measures for an area reconnaissance. The primary difference between an area and a zone reconnaissance is that a zone reconnaissance typically involves larger areas than those associated with the performance of area reconnaissance. Units conducting area reconnaissance can further divide their assigned area with additional lateral boundaries to define subordinate unit assigned areas. These subordinates' assigned areas are not necessarily the same size. Units place additional control measures on recognizable terrain where possible. They locate contact points where they determine that it is necessary for adjacent units to make physical contact and the time the contact takes place. They use phase lines to coordinate the movement of elements operating abreast. Checkpoints indicate critical terrain features and help to control ground movement and coordinate air-ground integration. Commanders use FSCMs to control direct and indirect fires. They use additional control measures as necessary. In addition, commanders assigning the area reconnaissance mission specify the routes their reconnaissance units will use to enter their assigned areas. Units depart these assigned areas on different routes upon completion of their area reconnaissance tasks. Units inform the commander assigning the mission if they lack the time or resources to complete all the tasks. Their respective commanders then issue further guidance on which tasks each unit needs to complete or the respective priority of these tasks. Their different reconnaissance objectives may make it clear which tasks are more important. These units report and await further instruction if they determine that they cannot complete assigned tasks after initiating their reconnaissance efforts. This includes such things as clearing enemy forces from their assigned areas or supporting the maneuver of their respective main bodies by reducing obstacles to create lanes. See FM3-98 for additional information on the performance of area reconnaissance. Route reconnaissance. Route reconnaissance is a form of reconnaissance operation to obtain detailed information of a specified route and all terrain from which the enemy could influence movement along that route. The route may be a road, highway, trail, mobility corridor, avenue of approach, or axis of advance. The reconnaissance effort provides new or updated information on route conditions, such as obstacles and bridge classifications, and enemy, adversary, and civilian activity along the route. Commanders normally assign this mission during a zone or area reconnaissance when they require more information on a specific route for friendly movement. Tasks associated with a route reconnaissance. Units conducting route reconnaissance perform specific tasks unless ordered otherwise by their commanders. If they do not have the time or resources to complete all the tasks associated with the performance of a route reconnaissance, units inform their higher echelon commanders. Those higher echelon commanders then issue further guidance on which tasks these units must complete or the priority of each task. This guidance is usually clear from their individual reconnaissance objectives. If they determine that they cannot complete all assigned tasks after initiating their route reconnaissance, such as clearing enemy forces or reducing obstacles, units report and continue to execute the mission within capability while simultaneously waiting for further guidance from their higher headquarters. See FM3-98 and ATP3-34.81/MCWP3-17.4 for additional information concerning route reconnaissance. Route reconnaissance tasks within capability include find, report, and, based on engagement criteria, clear all enemy forces that can influence movement along the route. Reconnoiter and determine the trafficability of the route. Reconnoiter all terrain that the enemy can use to influence movement along the route, such as choke points, ambush sites, pickup zones, landing zones, and drop zones. Reconnoiter all built-up areas along route. Reconnoiter all lateral routes. Locate bypasses around built-up areas, obstacles, and contaminated areas. Inspect and classify all bridges within the area. Reconnoiter defiles along the route. Clear them of enemy and obstacles or locate a bypass. Inspect and classify all overpasses, underpasses, and culverts. Locate fords or crossing sites near all bridges on the route. Locate and clear all mines, obstacles, and barriers on the route. Submit route report. Organization of forces for a route reconnaissance. Commanders assign route reconnaissance as a separate mission or as a specified task for units conducting a zone or area reconnaissance. A platoon conducts a route reconnaissance over only one route at a time. For larger organizations, the number of platoons available directly influences the number of routes covered simultaneously. Integrating ground, air, and technical assets ensures a faster and more complete route reconnaissance. A ground reconnaissance effort is essential if the mission is to conduct detailed reconnaissance of one or more routes, or the mission requires clearing enemy forces from those routes and adjacent terrain. Commanders operate and equip forces conducting ground reconnaissance to enable them to respond to enemy forces they encounter. Ground reconnaissance forces require immediate access to responsive fire support and other combat enablers. This is especially true when units expect to make contact with significant enemy forces. If commanders require detailed information on specific routes, engineer assets can determine the classification of critical points along routes more quickly and accurately than scouts can. If commanders anticipate encountering significant obstacles, they include combat engineers as part of their ground reconnaissance forces. Commanders can also include seaburn, civil affairs, or EMS reconnaissance assets as required. Commanders employ aerial reconnaissance when required by the mission variables. However, aerial reconnaissance can rarely clear enemy forces from locations where they can affect movement on these routes and aircraft cannot breach obstacles. When time is limited, aerial reconnaissance is essential to determine which areas are clear of enemy forces and obstacles. Aerial reconnaissance can also cue ground reconnaissance assets regarding where to focus their efforts. Control measures associated with a route reconnaissance. Commanders create an assigned area for the unit conducting the reconnaissance. They place lateral boundaries on both sides of reconnoitered routes. These lateral boundaries are far enough out from these routes to allow reconnaissance of all terrain from which an enemy force could influence each reconnoitered route. They draw lines of departure with reference to battlefield locations where enemy contact is possible. Commanders generally place these lines of departure before and perpendicular to the reconnoitered routes. This allows adequate maneuver space for the unit conducting the reconnaissance to deploy into a movement formation. These lines of departure create the rear boundary of the assigned area occupied by the units conducting the route reconnaissance. Commanders place LOAs far enough beyond the RP for each examined route, including any terrain from which an enemy force could influence that route. Together, a SP and an associated release point define a reconnoitered route. Commanders require detailed information on these routes and may add phase lines and checkpoints to coordinate reconnaissance, control movement, or designate critical points. They place additional control measures on terrain features identifiable from the ground and the air to coordinate indirect and direct fires and assist in air-to-ground coordination. Reconnaissance in force. A reconnaissance in force is a form of reconnaissance operation designed to discover or test the enemy's strength, dispositions, and reactions, or to obtain other information. Battalion-sized task forces or larger organizations usually conduct a reconnaissance in force. Commanders assign this operation when an enemy force is operating within an area and they cannot obtain adequate intelligence about the enemy force by other means. Units may also conduct a reconnaissance in force in restrictive terrain where an enemy is likely to ambush smaller reconnaissance forces. Reconnaissance in force is forceful reconnaissance conducted as an offensive operation with clearly stated reconnaissance objectives. The overall goal of a reconnaissance in force is to determine exploitable enemy weaknesses. It differs from other reconnaissance operations because commanders direct their performance to gain information solely about an enemy force. Commanders plan for both the reinforcement and the retrograde of their forces. They plan a reinforcement so they can exploit success, and they plan a retrograde if they encounter superior enemy forces. Tasks associated with a reconnaissance in force. Units performing a reconnaissance in force carry out these tasks. Penetrate the enemy's disruption zone and determine its size and depth. Determine the location and disposition of enemy forces. Attack enemy positions and attempt to force the enemy to react by using local reserves or major counterattack forces, employing fires, adjusting positions, and employing specific weapon systems. Determine weaknesses in the enemy's disposition to exploit. Locate obstacles and create lanes as specified. Enter areas of operation in complex terrain not previously occupied by friendly forces, such as urban environments. As with other reconnaissance tasks, units performing reconnaissance in force report and continue to conduct their mission, as they await further guidance from their higher headquarters if they cannot complete their assigned tasks. Organization of forces for a reconnaissance in force. While specifically trained and equipped units usually conduct the other reconnaissance tasks, any maneuver force can conduct a reconnaissance in force. Commanders directing the performance of a reconnaissance in force organize their forces in the same way as they organize offensive operations. They normally direct the performance of a reconnaissance in force as a movement to contact or a series of frontal attacks across broad frontages. The lack of enemy information dictates that these forces are large and strong enough to develop the situation. They need to be capable of protecting themselves long enough to receive support from other friendly assets. The less commanders know about their opposing enemy forces, the stronger they organize each friendly force. Control measures for a reconnaissance in force. The control measures associated with a reconnaissance in force are the same as for offensive operations. Special reconnaissance. Special reconnaissance is reconnaissance and surveillance actions conducted as a special operation in hostile, denied, or diplomatically and/or politically sensitive environments to collect or verify information of strategic or operational significance, employing military capabilities not normally found in conventional forces, JP3-05. These actions provide an additional capability for commanders and supplement other conventional reconnaissance actions. Sometimes only visual observation or other collection methods in the target area can obtain the desired information. Even with offensive cyber electromagnetic warfare techniques, long-range sensors, and overhead platforms. Special operations forces are equipped and possess capabilities enabling them to conduct reconnaissance on denied and hostile areas normally inaccessible to other forces or assets. Special reconnaissance activities include environmental reconnaissance, armed reconnaissance, target and threat assessment, post-strike reconnaissance. See ATP3-18.4 for additional information on special reconnaissance activities. Reconnaissance staff integration. The performance of reconnaissance operations contributes significantly to each commander's battlefield visualization. Staffs develop Annex B, intelligence to the base plan, or order to support their commander's decision-making process. Commanders make judicious yet aggressive use of their available reconnaissance assets. Reconnaissance planning ensures that available reconnaissance assets produce the greatest results. Commanders set priorities for their reconnaissance assets as time and the assets themselves are limited. Generating many unfocused missions rapidly wears down these assets, making them less effective and potentially leaving enemy vulnerabilities undiscovered. Commanders ensure the coordination and synchronization of all subordinate echelons for the reconnaissance effort. Since the need for information gained by reconnaissance is integral to all elements of operations and warfighting functions, reconnaissance operations demand an integrated approach to planning, preparation, and execution. The two habitual participants in the reconnaissance planning process are the operations and intelligence staff officers. Operations staff officers have primary staff responsibility for reconnaissance planning, allocating, and tasking resources. Normally, they are responsible for ground and aerial reconnaissance assets, which include manned aviation, small UAS, engineers, sea burn, and artillery. Intelligence staff officers have primary responsibility for ground surveillance systems, larger UAS, and special electronics mission aircraft. Civil affairs operations staff officers have primary responsibility for planning civil reconnaissance, civil engagement, and the analysis, evaluation, and integration of civil information into the common operational picture. Commanders ensure their staffs adopt an integrated combined arms approach to planning, preparing, executing, and assessing reconnaissance as an integral part of their information collection plans. Information collection plan. Units coordinate their reconnaissance efforts with other higher echelon and lateral units to maximize information collection. Staffs, primarily intelligence staff officers, identify gaps in available intelligence based on their initial IPB and their commander's critical information requirements. The IPB process identifies factors that impact their information collection efforts, such as avenues of approach that support friendly movement and exploit enemy weaknesses, key terrain, choke points, obstacles, and hazard areas, enemy positions, especially exploitable flanks, observation points. The performance of reconnaissance tasks, part of their information collection efforts, and the IPB process are interactive and iterative, each feeding the other. See FM3-55 for more information on the information collection process and ATP2-01.3 for more information on the IPB process. Intelligence and operations staff officers develop their initial synchronization plans to acquire information to help answer PIRs based on available information collection assets. These plans assign specific information collection tasks to specific units for action. They integrate information collection into the operation order and appropriate annexes. Operation staff officers use these synchronization plans when they prepare Annex L, information collection, to the operation orders. This annex provides for the flexible execution of reconnaissance operations, including the provision for adequate synchronization of fire support, sustainment, and other warfighting functions when completed to ensure the reconnaissance mission is adequately supported. See ADP 50 for more information on the integration of information collection, including reconnaissance, into the military decision-making process. Civil Affairs Operations Staff Officers plan for civil reconnaissance and civil engagement similar to the way intelligence cells plan information collection. The Civil Affairs Operations Staff Officers prioritize their civil reconnaissance and civil engagement information collection tasks to fill existing information gaps. The information collected allows them to update the Civil Affairs Operations running estimates. The Civil Affairs Operations concept of operations takes into account the quality of existing area assessments and civil information databases. See FM3-57 for additional information on civil reconnaissance and civil engagement. Reconnaissance techniques. There are two reconnaissance techniques commanders employ to answer information requirements: reconnaissance push and reconnaissance pull. Commanders employ these techniques based on their level of understanding of the operational environment combined with the time available to refine their understanding. In selecting one technique over the other, the commander considers the following: degree of the situational understanding of the enemy, time available to collect the information, leadership ability of subordinate commanders, proficiency of subordinate units to plan and rapidly react for uncertain situations. Reconnaissance pull is reconnaissance that determines which routes are suitable for maneuver, where the enemy is strong and weak, and where gaps exist, thus pulling the main body toward and along the path of least resistance. This facilitates the commander's initiative and agility. Reconnaissance assets initially work over a broad area to develop the enemy situation. As units gain an understanding of enemy weaknesses, they then pull the main body to positions of tactical advantage. Reconnaissance pull knowingly emphasizes opportunity at the expense of a detailed, well-rehearsed plan and unity of effort. Commanders base plans on several viable branches or COAs triggered by decision points. These decision points are tied to reconnaissance assets' ability to answer commanders' critical information requirements. Leaders at all levels must understand and rehearse branches and sequels. A reconnaissance pull can also be used when higher echelons have not selected a specific COA, while the unit conducting the reconnaissance answers key PIRs to help develop the plan. This facilitates commander's initiative and agility. Reconnaissance push is reconnaissance that refines the common operational picture, enabling the commander to finalize the plan and support main and supporting efforts. It is normally used once the commander commits to a scheme of maneuver or COA. In these cases, commanders push reconnaissance assets into specific portions of their areas of operation to confirm, deny, and validate planning assumptions that impact operations. Reconnaissance push emphasizes detailed, well-rehearsed planning. Typically, a COA has already been selected for the echelon executing the mission when a reconnaissance push is used. The primary reason for using one method instead of the other is the time available. The time required to develop a COA can give enemy forces more time to recover and prepare, thereby increasing the risk of higher casualties than necessary. Commanders balance the time needed to develop a COA with the need to act rapidly and decisively on the battlefield. There is no available model a commander can use to determine how much time is enough. That determination is part of the tactical art. Sustainment support. Sustaining reconnaissance assets before, during, and after their commitment is a vital part of maintaining reconnaissance capabilities. The methods employed by units to sustain their deployed reconnaissance assets depend on the situations. Units address reconnaissance asset sustainment as part of their planning process for each reconnaissance operation. Reconnaissance elements frequently operate in locations distant from their sustaining base. They either carry a large enough basic load, or their units task-organize them with assets necessary to sustain them until they can be relieved. Units carefully plan for casualty evacuation in both COAs. An alternative solution is to plan and coordinate for sustainment from nearby units. Reconnaissance methods. Commanders consider the mission variables and the capabilities of their reconnaissance assets when deciding on a reconnaissance method. When possible, commanders typically employ combinations of these methods to increase the reconnaissance operation's effectiveness. The reconnaissance methods include dismounted, mounted, aerial, manned and unmanned, and reconnaissance by fire. Dismounted reconnaissance. Dismounted reconnaissance is the most time-consuming method used by ground units. However, it permits the most detailed information collection about the enemy, terrain, civil considerations, and infrastructure. A commander considers using dismounted reconnaissance when stealth is required or security is the primary concern. Time is available. Detailed information is required. The reconnaissance objective is a stationary threat, fixed site, or terrain feature. Unit expects or has made enemy contact through visual and/or electromagnetic means. Environment conditions favor dismounted reconnaissance or hinder mounted reconnaissance. For example, terrain is muddy or swampy and is easier to traverse on foot. The terrain or threat preclude use of reconnaissance vehicles. Vehicles are not available. Terrain creates a visual dead space that prevents using optics or sensors. Mounted reconnaissance. Mounted reconnaissance enables a more rapid tempo while increasing the potential compromise of reconnaissance operations. Mounted reconnaissance should take advantage of standoff capabilities provided by surveillance and weapon systems to observe and engage from greater ranges. A commander considers using mounted reconnaissance when time is limited. Distance to reconnaissance objective requires mounted movement. Stealth and security are not primary concerns. Detailed information is not required, or the mounted method affords the same scope as the dismounted method. Environmental conditions permit this type of reconnaissance. For example, the terrain is relatively flat and dry, and tracked and wheeled vehicles can traverse with little difficulty. Enemy location is known. Aerial reconnaissance. Manned and unmanned aircraft system organizations are specifically equipped, organized, and trained to conduct reconnaissance. These capabilities are a key component of BCT's and above echelon's information collection activities. Both UAS and manned aircraft possess the capability to operate independently or in conjunction with ground reconnaissance elements. Implementing airspace coordinating measures, ACMs, is a key requirement for the effective integration of aerial reconnaissance into all operations. At the BCT level and above, units must ensure ACMs are planned and included in their unit airspace plans. Manned aerial reconnaissance. Manned aerial reconnaissance units are specifically equipped, trained, and organized to conduct zone, area, and route reconnaissance. If properly task-organized, they are capable of executing a reconnaissance in force. Both aviation formations are organized and trained to conduct reconnaissance in support of the division's maneuver plan. Aviation units employed at the troop and squadron levels, particularly the Air Cavalry Squadron, can conduct reconnaissance at distance, up to 100 kilometers beyond the flot, across restrictive terrain, and at a high tempo, weather permitting. Aviation units can insert surveillance teams at or near observation posts. Air crews can observe and provide security on station for extended times using rotation techniques if they have detailed requirements in advance. Alternatively, aviation units may be task-organized with ground reconnaissance assets to evaluate routes and obstacles and classify bridges. Units use aerial reconnaissance to cue other reconnaissance methods or sensors to specific areas, increasing the overall information collection capability. See FM3-04 for more information on Army aviation and reconnaissance. Unmanned aircraft system aerial reconnaissance. UAS are best suited to execute route, zone, and area reconnaissance. UAS offer numerous advantages to commanders, including the ability to observe areas and objectives where terrain or a threat can hinder ground or manned aerial reconnaissance, operate at extended distances or extended durations, or both. Maximize standoff distance to retain the element of surprise and increase force security. When employing UAS, units must have procedures to execute a battle handover between a UAS and other reconnaissance assets. This could include a reconnaissance handover to another UAS platform, manned aircraft, or ground reconnaissance asset. Furthermore, units must have procedures in place in the event of a loss of data link between the UAS and its operators. See ATP 3-04.64/MCRP 3-42.1-alpha/NTTP 3-55.14/AFTTP 3-2.64 for more information on the tactical employment of UAS. Reconnaissance by fire. Reconnaissance by fire is a reconnaissance technique in which a unit fires on a suspected enemy position. This technique is appropriate when time is critical and stealthy maneuver to develop the situation further is not possible. The fires may be either direct, indirect, or a combination of both to cause the enemy forces to disclose their presence by movement or return fire. The advantage of indirect fire is that it does not give away friendly locations and usually causes enemy forces to displace from the impact area. However, reconnaissance by fire may not cause a seasoned or prepared enemy force to react. Reconnaissance under limited visibility conditions. Battlefield obscuration, fog, rain, and snow reduce visibility. Generally, reconnaissance during limited visibility takes more time than during periods of normal visibility. However, limited visibility conditions provide better stealth and enhance the survivability of reconnaissance assets. Units frequently employ dismounted reconnaissance patrols at night. These patrols use light amplification devices, thermal observation devices, and electronic surveillance devices to compensate for reduced visibility conditions. Mounted reconnaissance normally focuses on road networks during limited visibility conditions. An enemy force can detect engine and track noises of friendly mounted reconnaissance elements at considerable distances at night. This makes mounted reconnaissance elements susceptible to ambush. Strict noise and light discipline, along with masking sounds such as artillery fires, help mounted reconnaissance forces avoid compromise or ambush. High winds, extreme temperature, loose topsoil, or sand may adversely affect aerial reconnaissance. Aerial reconnaissance units plan their missions in much the same way as ground units. They use the same type of operations graphic control measures and consider the same critical tasks. Aerial reconnaissance units organize aviation assets to accomplish missions by considering the same IPB aspects as ground forces. Commanders focus on air hazards to navigation and anticipated enemy air defense capabilities. See ATP 2-01.3 for more information on the effects of weather and atmospheric conditions. Recuperation and reconstitution of reconnaissance assets. Units must plan for the recuperation and reconstitution of reconnaissance forces. The relieving unit or units must be capable of accomplishing the reconnaissance objective assigned. Relieving units must complete a deliberate relief in place to ensure continuous reconnaissance while maintaining contact with the enemy force. When a commander employs small units continuously for extended periods, they can become ineffective. When this occurs, restoring these units to acceptable levels of effectiveness may require either recuperation or reconstitution. Recuperation, a short break for rest, resupply, and maintenance, is often sufficient to return units to effectiveness. Units can extend these recuperation periods to conduct refresher training, new equipment training, or any required specialized training for the next mission. Reconnaissance units and systems are vulnerable to detection, engagement, and destruction by enemy forces. Commanders determine whether to reconstitute by either regenerating or reorganizing these units when this occurs and they can no longer perform their primary missions. Regenerating a unit requires significant resources. The organization two echelons above the unit being regenerated directs the regeneration procedure and coordinates for the necessary personnel, equipment, and supplies from the appropriate theater sustainment command supporting organization if that headquarters lacks organic, assigned, or attached sustainment assets. For example, a BCT can regenerate one of its cavalry troops. In the regeneration process, the BCT could use a combination of weapon system replacement operations, battle damage assessment and repair, normal replacement operations, and medical returnees to provide the needed resources. Units could use these resources combined with training to regenerate the degraded troops' combat power. Alternatively, they could designate one of their maneuver companies to perform cavalry troop functions.